A two-time USA track and field trail champion, David Roche, advises runners to include rest days in their schedules. You got that? Professional athlete, national athlete, national champion, advises runners to include rest days in their schedules. Take planned rest days when you are healthy, or you will be taking forced rest days when you are injured. If you are running 5 days a week, three should be recovery runs. But for all of the experienced runners I coach, there is a complete rest day every 7 to 10 days. Remember the importance of rest days, and you can make recovery and your running performance great again. Maybe more than most modern Christians, professional athletes understand the value of taking a day of rest. Of course, they take the rest for a different reason, don't they? Their rest is aimed at future performance. This past Sunday, I started a short series on the Sabbath. We looked at the Sabbath command as it's stated in the book of Deuteronomy. We learned that observing the Sabbath there is grounded in Israel's deliverance from Egypt and God's desire that they always remain free. You're not slaves anymore, so stop acting like slaves. Today, however, we are looking at the Sabbath command once again, this time focusing on how it's remembered in the book of Exodus. In that first giving of the Ten Commandments, observing the Sabbath is grounded in what? Not in slavery and deliverance, but in God's rest. So let me read that command for you from Exodus 28 to 11. This is the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Once again, that's the fourth commandment, as it's given to us in the book of Exodus. Now, as one commentator notes, the Exodus command to remember the Sabbath day is grounded in the story of creation. The human pattern of 6 days of work and 1 day of rest follow God's pattern as creator. God's people are to rest 1 day because God did. But despite this law, Sabbath keeping isn't honored the way it should. And the layout of our Bibles actually, I think, conspires towards this. I mean, I invite you to take up your pew Bibles, okay, and turn to Genesis 1. Wait, this is a hymnal. Take up your Bibles. Genesis 1, the first book in the Bible. So if you can get past all the introduction. Now, depends on what Bible you have. I think most of them are the same in the pews, but you'll notice that from the beginning in chapter 1, they're sort of separate stanzas, and they're for each day, right? Right? Interestingly enough, where does the chapter end? It ends at verse 31, and that's the sixth day, right? And I guess we can understand that, creation of man and woman, you know, that's the apex of all creation, right? Well, from our perspective, it is. But if you continue on, see how the stanzas are laid out at the start of chapter 2? It's the seventh day, right? The Sabbath day. And if you read that all together in one reading, you'll realize that the passage is all aiming towards that, not to the sixth day, but to the seventh. What we have here are medieval divisions, right? 13th century chapters were added, 17th century verses were added, and that shapes the way we read and understand Scripture. But I think a closer reading will help us see that that Sabbath command in chapter 2 is part of the big one, the one big story of creation. And rather than being an add-on, it's actually the dramatic finale of God's work. God finishes his work, God delights in it, then God rests. He blesses the Sabbath day and hallows it. In the book of Genesis, God's work is important. I mean, if God wasn't working, we wouldn't be here. But enjoying this work is the final aim, the driving purpose of those other 6 days. Sabbath is not just the joy of pausing from work, and it's not resting so that we can do more work. Rather, Sabbath is perfect work, the end of it all. Now, for many of us, this is a very different way of thinking about Sabbath keeping, especially those of us who enjoy work. I mean, how, let's be honest here, a little bit of self-revelation, self-disclosure. How many of you would call yourself a Martha? Yeah, we've got a few here. That's someone who likes to organize the chaos in the world around them. Someone who likes to get moving and get things done. I guess that makes the rest of you Marys, right? People who can easily set aside your work, pause and enjoy what is happening in the moment. I'm a Martha. You can just ask Amy, right? Is that correct? Yeah. It took us about a decade, but we finally figured out how to get me through the holidays in one piece, and that is by planning work projects. It's part of my achiever personality, a personality type that was noted in the Clifton Strengths inventory I took earlier this spring. What characterizes achievers? What characterizes Marthas? This is from Clifton Strengths, broad personality sort of testing. If you put up your hand, listen to this carefully. You feel as if every day starts at zero. By the end of the day, you must achieve something tangible in order to feel good about yourself. And by every day, you mean every single day. Work days, weekends, vacations. No matter how much you feel you deserve a day of rest, if the day passes without some form of achievement, no matter how small, you will feel dissatisfied. Now, I wonder if we closed our eyes first, how many hands would have gone up, hey? It's easier if you're sitting at the back. You can see who's putting their hands up front. I've adapted to living with my Martha personality, but I wonder sometimes if in doing so, I've missed out on Jesus' invitation. I mean, Jesus tells Martha that she's missed out on something more important than her work. And we can see that, right, as readers. She had the opportunity to sit at Jesus' feet and listen to his teaching. But she was focusing on making sure the table was properly set. Wow. Like, what a missed opportunity. So how do Marthas of this world structure our Sabbath so that we really keep it and don't miss out on what God is offering to us? Well, theologian and church historian Dorothy Bass, and I referred to her last week, she ponders things that might be avoided on Sabbath and what might be enjoyed. I mean, we have to translate Sabbath, right? Some of us can't keep it as it was originally intended. Our culture's changed. If you're doing shift work, you're stuck, right? But there are ways that we can live out Sabbath, even if your work structure doesn't allow for it. And so she asks, what things can be avoided on that Sabbath, whatever day of the week we have to enjoy it, and what might be enjoyed? What is not good on Sabbath, she asks? We would do well to heed 3 millennia of Jewish reflection on the Sabbath commandment. Not good are work or commerce or worry. To act as if the world cannot get along without our work for one day in seven is a startling display of pride that denies the sufficiency of our generous Maker. To refrain from working not every day, but one in seven, opens the temporal space within which glad and grateful relationship with God and peace and appreciative relationship with nature and other people can grow. Right? Like if you're burning the candle 24/7, can you really appreciate the people around you? And what is good on Christian Sabbath, she asks. Most important is joyful worship that restores us to communion with the risen Christ and our fellow members of Christ's body, the church. After worship, what many of us need most is time with loved ones. Not useful time for planning next week's schedules, but wasted time. Wasted on the pleasure of being together, perhaps while sharing our enjoyment of art, nature, or athletics. And for others, and for all of us at certain points in our lives, hours of solitude beckon. Hours for sleep, reading, reflection, walking, and prayer. I'm a Martha. I'm not good at relaxing. I'm not good at going on vacation. I'm not good at observing the Sabbath. But last Saturday, our family made a special attempt to keep the fourth commandment. And we did it for a while, maybe a couple years ago. We sort of fell off the wagon along the way. It's a little bit harder in our family because I work Sunday, right? So I've got to figure out a different way of doing this. Well, last Saturday, we tried to maybe find that rhythm again. During the morning, we got out of the house and into nature. We enjoyed fishing at Walloper Lake. During the afternoon, we went for a swim. And then after returning home, the kids watched a bit of TV while Amy and I took a nap. We made sure we had a good meal together. And then we had time for devotions and prayers as a family all at the end of the day. And you know what? At the end of the day, I felt rested. I mean, we did a lot. That was a lot. But it wasn't work. It put me in such a different state of mind that both times I left the house, I forgot to bring my phone. Right? That's like weird. My tie to my work, the rest of the world. Well, I wonder if the Marthas among us might learn something from the Marys. Instead of practicing Sabbath as a law, a thing we ought to do, we're supposed to do, or a means, a way of becoming more productive in the rest of the week, acting like a machine, I wonder if we might learn about living in sync with the universe. As one commentator states, the climax of creation is the one who, in fellowship with the Creator, enjoys the Creator's work. Well, may we start enjoying the Sabbath. Thanks be to God. Amen.